The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This is the gospel of the Lord." Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who has done everything well. I've told you before how much I love the lectionary, this calendar of scriptures that we have. It's a three-year calendar, and we get all four Gospels, and we get these other texts that are attached to the Gospels in various ways, explaining them or supporting them. And this week is no different. I reveled in my task of preaching this week because I got to read these great texts over and over. And this week's Gospel text has two separate stories are connected. And the one is a woman who wants healing for her daughter who has a demon, who's been possessed by a demon. And the second is the healing of a deaf man. Well, last year we were in the Gospel of Matthew, and we got that first story in a greater detail, and we looked into it. It's a difficult text, but we studied it last year, and this morning I'd like to look at the healing story, the healing of a deaf man. And both of these stories are significant in the Gospel of Mark because they're the beginning of Jesus' ministry to anyone who isn't a Jew. Up until now, Jesus' healings and all of the things that he's been doing have been in the Galilee area or just to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. So something is happening here, and the disciples are watching. God's love and mercy and healing and power are bigger and more broad than they've seen up to this point. Apparently, the Messiah has come for the sake of the world, not just the nation of Israel. And so it just says they bring Jesus to a man. I don't know if it's his disciples or people that are gathered. But they bring Jesus to a man who is deaf and he can't speak well. And the words Jesus says are, "Be opened." The man's ears are opened, his tongue is loosed, and he is healed. Other times when Jesus heals people, he says things like, "Go and sin no more," or he says, "Pick up your mat, your sins are forgiven," or he says, "Because of your faith, you are healed." So all of these things, all of these healings are actually invitations into something else, not just a physical healing, but an invitation into kingdom life, into a new way of living faithfully. So Jesus says, "Be opened." And that's quite an invitation. It's a spiritual invitation as well as a physical one. Be opened. So do we then hear Jesus saying to us, be opened? The parts of you that are closed, be opened. The parts of you that are protecting vulnerable parts of you, be opened. That's just plain old terrifying. Being opened after being closed for so long is terrifying. Being opened after being closed on purpose to protect yourself is terrifying. So how do you suppose we can open ourselves to the depth of the pain that we feel and that we see in the world? We do not want to open ourselves to the truth that refugee babies are washing up on the shores in Europe, tugged from their mothers' arms into churning seas and washed up like so much seaweed. We don't want to be opened to that. Please, Jesus, don't make me open myself up to that. Let me scroll on by on the screen on the computer or flip the page in the newspaper. We do not want to open ourselves up to the fact that our black and brown sisters and brothers are struggling in this nation and in the world. We can't really deny it because we just have to look at statistics to see who lives with illiteracy and who lives in poverty and who lives in our prisons and who dies early. It's not that we don't know that it's true. We just don't want to open ourselves up to those facts, Jesus, because we would rather feel safe in what we think we know is truth. We don't want to open ourselves up to the truth that international policies with Iran and Israel and Palestine and Iraq and Syria, they are ancient. They are complicated. We very much like our bumper stickers and our Facebook posts that simplify everything down to bad guys and good guys and right and wrong. And the truth is that most of us know very little about the complicated relationships between nations and individual leaders and ancient grudges and the power of oil. And if we started to really be opened and sift through it in earnest, we would likely have to change our minds about something. So please don't ask us to do that, Jesus. It's too hard and it costs us too much. Just let us stay closed to all of it. Let us remain convinced that we know it all. And then maybe we would have to read Scripture again and gather together again around Scripture and hear the voice of the verb that Jesus uses, ephphatha. In language, maybe most languages, we have voices. It's called active voice and passive voice. If I tell you to see something, then I'm telling you to do it, to look. You do the looking, that's active voice. If I tell you to be seen, then I'm asking you to be looked at. I'm asking you to have the action happen to you. That's passive voice. And ephphatha is passive voice in Greek. It is be opened. Just like Jesus does not tell the woman to heal her own daughter or say, why doesn't your daughter heal herself? And just like he doesn't say to the man, well, make yourself hear and speak. He says, be opened. Let this thing happen to you. It's coming from outside of you. It's outside of your power. So Jesus is not actually asking us to open ourselves to the pain and truth of the world. Jesus is touching us, offering us his power, and saying, be opened. And it feels different not to have to do it on your own, by your own power and your own might. But it is still frightening. And we say, Jesus, we have fearful hearts. And Jesus may just say, well, then why don't you read Isaiah? And Isaiah today says to us, say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. The waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams shall run in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the kingdom of God in which we get to live. When we are opened by the power of Jesus' love to live kingdom lives and to love vulnerably, our blindness shall be opened, our deafness will be unstopped, our lameness will be animated, our silenced tongues will sing for joy, and our open-eyed, hearing-eared, able-bodied, singing-voiced selves will be at work in the world. And as part of Christ's holy body, when we speak love and truth and be vulnerable, then God will use us, our eyes and ears and bodies and voices, to say to the world, as members of the body, to say to the world, be opened. You and I are some of the means by which Jesus keeps opening people. And when we have fearful hearts, for we will and we do right now, we will ask Isaiah to tell us again and again and again what God has to say to those who have fearful hearts. Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come and save you. And in the saving is the opening of eyes, ears, bodies, and voices for the work of the kingdom of God, for the ushering in of this kingdom where water breaks forth from wilderness and streams run in deserts. Because being saved is not simply being rescued from your enemies. It's not simply being rescued from what frightens you. Being saved is being opened to what frightened us, and then never left right there alone to just be frightened. Being saved by God is being opened to say in the midst of the muck and the fear and the chaos, as we hear the people say in the text, the more he says, don't tell people what I'm doing, the more he goes to tell the world that Jesus has done everything well, and he has done everything well, including touching us and healing us and saying, be opened. Amen.